tab in New South Wales. Tab customers only. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio continues to bring you the very best New South Wales autumn racing. Saturday, we're off to Hawkesbury for the major metropolitan meeting.
Sambro kicks back and Sambro's won the guineas.
Trainer Chris Waller will be back to win another guineas. Plus, there's the Gold Cup and Hawkesbury Crown in a million-dollar day of racing. Catch the daily updates on Racing HQ. Then Saturday, it's off to Hawkesbury on Sky Sports Radio.
Harness Racing's Carnival of Cups. Country racing at its best.
And it's time for this morning's edition of Pacing Rewind. Andrew Bensley joins me. Andrew, good morning.
Yes, good morning to you, Simon. Morning, everybody. This is going to be a solid half hour. We're going to recap on some harness, and then Mick Cowley's going to talk about a monster night last night at Wendy Park. But, gee, it was a good night down in Victoria last night. They had the Victoria Oaks heats at Tabcorp Park, Melton. There was a bit of joy also for Todd McCarthy, who went down. But running through the heats, Bella Montana won the first of the Victoria Oaks heats, the short price favourite for Barry Purden with Bella Montana. Smart as can be for Kylie Rasmussen won the second heat, and then later on in the third heat, it was Kualoa for Emma Stewart and Chris Alford, again the favourite, winning that race. Todd McCarthy, he went down to ride in a couple of those Oaks heats, but he ended up winning a race outside those with Dean Braun's horse, the Charging Mower, which finished off strongly of this seven-year-old mare to win the race for Todd McCarthy. So he didn't have the wins in the Oaks, but he won a race down last night, Todd McCarthy there. And of course, the Dubbo Carnival of Cups night was on last night, and Simon, we're going to talk to the winning trainer, Amanda Turnbull, in a few minutes here on Pacing Rewind.
Well, Bella Montana looks the one for the Oaks now, doesn't she?
Yeah, just Barry Purden. We know the expertise of Barry when he travels horses. He doesn't bring them over from New Zealand when they're not up to the quality, and was just able to control the race, so finishing off strongly. And they ran home in 27.7 and 27.1. Okay, the sectionals in the first half of the last bit was reasonably slow, 30.8 and 30.2, but they mile rated in 154.9, but just Bella Montana just looked too good. If it can come up with a good draw, it defeated Ray Roots's filly in Miss Dryzen for Todd McCarthy. But Bella Montana, certainly you would feel, prior to everything else coming out in the early part of the week, it's certainly the one to beat.
Well, this afternoon, Benz, we've got the Wagga Wagga Pacers cap on, and Graham White from the club joins us now. Whitey, good morning to you.
G'day, Simon. How are you? G'day, Andrew.
Yeah, g'day to you, Whitey. It's obviously been a busy time with the new track and everything. Before we discuss today, how's it all settled in?
Yeah, it's really settled in well, Andrew. We've had about seven meetings now, and obviously the first couple of test meetings, and we had the big opening on March 10th, so about 6 weeks ago, about three meetings, four meetings since. But today's another big one, and we're expecting to really pack it in again. There's a lot of talk around about it. The Cup's a great field. There's a lot of entertainment on as well, and that's Cup goes at 4:15. It's been a good free race now for the last 3 or 4 years, and worth $30,000. I just heard you mention the Turnbull stable. They look very hard to beat again, but in saying that, there's a lot of very worthy opposition.
We'll talk to Amanda about Executive Dash in the race, but the locals have got behind the new track and everything like that, on, you know, hoping again for another good crowd.
Yeah, certainly that's the case, Andrew. We've got three horses, local horses, in the Cup one way or the other. They're either owned here or trained here, and certainly there's been a sprinkling. A lot of Victorians coming up and doing quite well. Laura Crosland's got runners in today, and she's been quite successful. And then you've got Peter Trevor James. He came down with Beaton a couple of weeks ago, and one with him first up, and he's won a Bankstown since. And he goes around the Cup today with Cameron Hart aboard. He's the young fellow from Juneau with close ties to this area. And you've got Billy Evans, also I'm a Mystery Girl as well. And then also we've got Red Bank Eddie, who's loaned locally by Paul Carlefeld. So look, it's a quality race, but all the other races are plenty of quality as well. There's nine races, and the first gets underway a bit after 12.
Okay, you mentioned there's plenty of stuff for the whole families. It's an Easter long weekend, but there's plenty out there for the kids.
Yeah, there is, Andrew. We've got a lot of entertainment on. There's all the regular stuff, face paying, the jumping castle. There's a car to be won as part of the Carnival Cups competition, so people need to enter for that. We've got trick riders. They're coming down. They actually performed yesterday in Deniliquin, and they're quite spectacular to watch. They do acrobats on horseback, so if you can visualise that, it's quite spectacular. And we've got Nathan Lamont, who was one of the real performers in The Voice a couple of years ago. He was a lad, and he's setting up as we speak. So it was just going to be a great afternoon. The weather's on our side, and everything's in order for a big day.
Fantastic. Now, we've mentioned the Wagga Pacers Cup with Amanda Turnbull with the executive Dash, and Steve's got Courts in Session. They're the main two in that race. You've also got the Derby and the Oaks on this afternoon as well. They're not high in numbers, but particularly the Derby, there's a lot of horses in good form at the moment.
Yeah, very true. There's some nice horses going around in that race. And, yeah, just a bit disappointing that the numbers aren't there. And, you know, it's a $10,000 race, and there's only seven runners. But some nice horses. Fire Squad Red goes around. He won very impressively here at Wagga the other day, and second at Bathurst before that. So he's won to the Turnbulls as well. He's been racing well. Tactical Response for Wayne Sullivan's been going great guns. And Major Role, we can't forget about him. You know, he ran eighth last start at Bathurst. That was about all. 4 or 5 weeks ago now, but prior to that, his form was excellent. He's got a very good record. I wouldn't mind having him. He's won 8 out of 14, so it's a very good field. And the Oaks is the same, you know, some nice horses going around there, including the one for Laura Cross and the one the other day, Celerina.
Okay, so the first race is at a 12:15. The Oaks is race 4, the Derby race 6, and as you mentioned, the South Wagga Butchery Wagga's Pacers Cup is race 8 to be run at 4:15. So it is an afternoon of first-class action. How's the weather down there?
Yeah, it's pretty good, Andrew. A bit of rain forecast tomorrow, which would be nice, but look, it looks like it'll hold off until tomorrow. But yeah, look, everything's in order. We've had beautiful weather here the last couple of weeks, so I suppose if it's not going to rain, it may as well be like this. And also, all goes well for the gallops in a couple of weeks when I know you'll be around, because that's a grand carnival too. So we're really looking forward to today and then a couple of weeks for the Wagga gallops.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, Graham, well, good luck today. Alan Hull will be on air at around midday, and just after 11 o'clock, we're going to be joined with the very latest with Mick Dumsney. He's going to give us tips for every race for Wagga this afternoon. So listeners, stick around for those tips just after 11 this morning. Thanks a lot, Whitey.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Simon.
Righto, Graham White joining us there, Andrew. And you mentioned Amanda Turnbull, who won the Renshaw Cup at Penrith on Thursday night with Elmer's Image. And also this afternoon has got a runner at Wagga, and Amanda's online now. Amanda, good morning to you.
Hey,
how are
you?
Good, thank you.
Good, Amanda. You're on the way. I can hear that car. You're on the way to Wagga?
Yep, not long left.
No, fantastic. Well, let's talk about the race just before we talk a little bit of last night and Thursday. Executive Dash and Courts in Session, they look to be the two main hopes. How's your confidence with this good draw with Executive Dash?
Yeah, I expect him to go pretty good. He's up and grade a lot, but I think that'll probably suit him better, chasing the good ones.
He's just a horse that's on the rise. He's only relatively lightly raced, but he's showing you a lot, Amanda.
Yeah, he's still pretty green. Like, he won't go much in front, but if he has to chase, he usually goes better that way. So hopefully some of the good ones go hard and he can sit on them or something like that.
Yeah, so from that draw, you'd feel that you'll be taking a sit, get some cover, and hopefully get some, clear going down the straight.
Yeah, I think so, especially over that distance. And then he doesn't concentrate that much in front. He's a bit of a headache in front, so hopefully he can get cover.
Can you win the Derby with Firestorm Red?
Oh, he's gone really good, too. His last run there was super, and he's getting a lot tougher.
And the other one is the Oaks with Myra Dawn, who's going to start the shortest of favourites in that race.
Yeah, she's the only real little thing, but everything she's done has been good. And, it's going to be a pretty hard day, but her last run was good. And, yeah, she just surprises us every time she goes out.
All right, well, they're the three features today where you're heading at Wagga. Can we reflect on last night? It was Dubbo City Cup night, and Jonah Jones won the cup for you. You only trained. You weren't trained a driver last night.
No, I had a night off and watched on TV, which is good.
Different sort of feel. Take us through winning the race last night, because you had to chase down the leader, but did that comfortably in the end.
Yeah, he's been a good little horse to us, and over the long distance, I thought it would suit him, especially the small field too. She just had the weight. She drove him perfect.
Yeah, beautiful. Isabel Ross driving home the Dubbo City Cup. Amanda, let's talk about a bit of reflection here on pacing. Rewind. Let's go back to Thursday night and the Renshaw Cup at Penrith, won by your horse Elma Zimich, who had to do some work early and made the early move to go and sit outside the leader. And then you had the fight off Ignatius. It was a really strong, dominant performance.
Yeah, I was worried early when Ignatius got off fence so easy and then sort of wanted to stay in front of him to beat him to that spot outside the leader. But it was a tough run because he was three wide for a long way.
He was. You were sort of forced there, and then I guess you've got to just make a quick decision that you wanted to go and get in front of Ignatius and sit outside the leader.
Yeah, definitely. Sort of, I had to work hard, but I wanted to stay in front of him.
Yeah. Looking at the sectionals, the first one was 30.2, but from then on, it was really on 28.9, 28.8, and then when everyone was feeling the pinch at the end, it was 29.4. But did you think Ignatius was going to, you know, you probably knew that it was going to come at you late?
Yeah, I was waiting for it for a while, and especially the last turn, because my fella sort of doesn't like the little tracks that much, and I thought if he doesn't go past me on the turn, I'll be right, because he'll kick on in the straight.
Your horse Tactate, you made the decision about 12 months ago to sell it to America. Has it been a case since then you've been rebuilding to try and find a horse like Elma's Image?
Elma's Image was already in the stable at that time. And
okay.
I sort of knew that, like, we had, every time he stepped out, he was going good, and then Tactate, I just was having a bit of trouble with him, and I was more crying more over him than I was racing him. But
yeah.
With Elma's Image in our background and that, we decided to move him on, and he was going to be better off with the help they could get in America.
Yeah, understand. I guess what I was saying, I knew the horse was in your stable, but I guess you look for a horse like him to replace Tactate.
Yeah, definitely. We sort of work out, do that.
Yeah. So what's the plan with him? What can he take the step into the high level?
I think so. Like, I think what strengthened him the most was the Inter Dominion. Like, he handled that really good and just got better and better from then on. We'll probably just race in the next couple of weeks. There's another one coming up at Benangle and then the Truer. So
yep.
Just racing for a while, and then he does need a spell. I haven't given him a spell yet, so we'll have to try and give him a break at some stage.
I was going to bring that up, actually. I looked at his runs. He's been up for a fair while. The standardbreds can cop it a bit better.
Yeah, he doesn't do much at home, which helps. So he keeps himself pretty fit, and he doesn't have to get work too hard. So that probably helps him stay up longer.
Yeah. He's a nice horse, though. You think that he can really just take the required to consistently race in group races.
Yeah, I think so. Now that that race that night was over the longer distance, and I always knew like he could run a good mile, but now that he's getting tougher and he can sort of handle those grand circuit races.
Well, that was the one thing that really stood out for mine, because Pickard worked to the lead and got it pretty comfortably getting to the lead, but you were the one that did the work, and I probably felt 400 out that Ignatius was going to catch you coming from behind, but not having the hard run like you.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I was waiting for him, but I thought it's hard to get past if he gets around the track.
Yeah, I understand. All right, well, that's Elma's Image winning the Renshaw Cup on Thursday night. Today's another day. You've won the Dubbo Cup last night. Maybe further success down at Wagga. Safe travels, Amanda. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Bye.
Good on you. Amanda Turnbull joining us there. A big night last night at Dubbo. She watched it from home, Simon, but she'll be there today with three key drives in the feature races at Wagga. And we should mention tomorrow, Simon, we've got Bathurst harness racing in the afternoon, but the Carnival of Cups action goes from Wagga to Narrabri tomorrow. We've got the Narrabri Cup to be run just after 2:30. We've got other good program there as well, but the Narrabri Cup is certainly the feature with the first race at just before 12:15, and I know Greg Cachel looking forward to calling that program tomorrow. Good luck to everybody at Narrabri. But that gives us pacing rewind this morning, Simon. Looking forward to hearing from Mick Cowley in a couple of minutes here because, gee, it was a good night at Wendy Park last night.
Terrific. Thanks, Andrew. Enjoy your Easter Sunday.
Thanks a lot, Simon. Same to you. And don't forget, everyone, I should mention this, 10:30 Monday to Friday, starting tomorrow, you'll hear your latest daily news in harness racing and greyhounds from 10:30 Monday to Friday. So another incentive to be listening around this time every morning. Simon?
Look, there's no easy way to do this, but I can't work here anymore. You know I love it here. In fact, you're the reason I've stayed here so long. It's just, the time has come. I have got to get home for dinner.
Hate saying goodbye to your radio? Download Radio App on your phone and take your favourite station anywhere. Radio App, free from the App Store and Google Play.
Greyhound racing takes place all over the world.
But Australia leads the way for sheer quality.
Daily Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader.
And we've had a massive night of greyhound action from Wentworth Park. Michael Kelly from Greyhound Racing New South Wales is with me. Mick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Simon. As you said, mate, it was a fantastic night last night. I know the kids are excited about Easter eggs this morning, but I think all greyhound enthusiasts were pretty pumped after last night's action.
Well, would you like to start with the Golden Easter Egg itself, Mick?
I think we should, Simon. It's well and truly worth listening to. And if you do get a chance, I know the replay's out on social media, on the Sky channels, and also on our channels, GRNSW, as well. It's well worth having a look at to watch this phenomenal run.
We had a pretty solid favourite too. Federal Lily was backed into $2.80 for the big Group 1 feature.
No turning back. We're set. Ready. Racing, Federal Lily flew out of the boxes. She's going straight to the lead over Black Forge, working to second. They'll follow up by Wide Out, Miss Splendor Miro, Blue Striker, Black Opium, Zipping Bailey. They'll follow by Irinka, Lizzie and Banjo to fight at the tail of the field. Down the back, Federal Lily tackled by Black Forge, Miss Splendor Miro. They jam behind the leader. Zippy Bailey is hammering home. Federal Lily in front. Here's Zipping Bailey. She's descending. Zipping Bailey grabbed the lead of the egg. The Novocastrian, Zipping Bailey, has beaten Federal Lily, followed in by Black Forge and Blue Striker, and Miss Splendor Miro, then Manjo to Fire, followed by Irinka Lizzie and Black Obi in the tail ender in 29.9.
And that was Timmy Newbold's call there of last night's Group 1 Golden Easter Egg Final. Now, Mick, we're about to be joined by winning trainer Jason McKay, but first of all, Federal Lily, she showed that early burn, didn't she, and really dashed out from box 5.
No, she did indeed. I think, yeah, judging on a heat run and her semi-final run, those first early sectionals were fantastic. So it was no surprise that she was going to come out running, as she did, and that was the way she was going to win the race, if she was going to win it, set up that lead in front and just see if someone could chase it down. And as it turned out, that was the way it literally worked out. You know, she was still in front on the home turn. Zipping Bailey just stormed through quite a remarkable run, quite a remarkable race. And as you said, Federal Lily, the fact that she stepped up, she was a Young Star winner in October. It literally 6 months to the day she won the Young Star at Wentworth Park on Million Dollar Chase night. And now to be favourite and to almost get home in one of our premier races, fantastic training performance. Peter Ligagioni, Mystic Riot, won the Million Dollar Chase. He almost completed the double, didn't go too far from missing it.
Yeah, she was $26 a few weeks ago and wound up jumping to $2.80 favourite. But all honours to Zipping Bailey, though, who is the winner of this year's Golden Easter Egg Final. And trainer Jason McKay joins us online now. Jason, good morning and congratulations.
Thanks very much for having us. Yep, much appreciated.
Jason, has it sunk in yet? I know you were a little bit lost for words and emotional last night. Has it sunk in that you're an Easter egg winner finally?
Well, you have a look on the bench, the trophy and the rug there, so that tells us it's all good, but it's a bit surreal, to tell the truth. That was a scary run. They tell me last night, 30 years to the Easter egg, she's the only bitch that's come from last to win it, you know what I mean?
It's just remarkable. 11:40 for that run home she's posted. Yeah, that's have you had a dog go that quick before coming home?
Well, that tells me now through our form analyst, Jeff Collison, that's the quickest run and time ever, 11:40. So that's probably why she was screaming aim, you know what I mean? That is a scary run aim.
Jason, you mentioned last night that this race you finished third with Banner Park in 2001 behind Brett Lee, and that kind of really ignited the flame to want to win this feature race.
Exactly right. At the time, well, you go down as one of the Hall of Famers, Brett Lee. He was an absolute freak, but I was only a young bloke, and the dog I had him was Banner Park. He was only a young dog, and I'll tell the truth, he probably should have run second, but he balked off the hurls of Creative Whiskey, and she ended up running second, but his run was super for a 22-month-old pup to run third at that level, at that age. So that sort of fired me up a bit. I always wanted to have a crack at it when you got the right dog, but she's broke all the rules, this little Zip and Barley. When you're in them big ones, you want to have that Federal Lily pace to get out in front and go. Well, she's the opposite of that. She drops out the back and got the last shot at him if she don't get decked through that crucial corner.
Hey, tell us a bit about her. She used to be a good beginner early on, but she's only little and she kind of got knocked about a bit. Was that the story?
Yeah, I'd say more a hit-miss beginner. She's begun a couple of times, but she worked it out real quick. She was getting hit a few times, and you could see it was hurting her. So she's very intelligent. She just thought, instead of getting hit, I'll just stay off your hurls a bit and hope I don't get decked, and then therefore there may be a run there. And that's a new pattern now. She'll always be last to leave. She'll head for the fence, and if there's a run there, she'll take it. And if she, like last night, she was 10 off them to run them down. You've got to watch the replay again to believe it, to tell the truth. In that company, be 10 off them. I think she was running fifth at the stage. You just put a 10 through her, but she got them, you know what I mean?
You said you were overwhelmed and shocked with the run last night. As you said, yeah, watching the replay, it really hammers home how amazing that run really was.
Oh, you look at some of them dogs. When she went underneath Blue Striker up the back, he's a real one of the best Victorians in training. He's been in all the cups, Australian Cup, the Melbourne Cup, the Cranbourne Cup. She finally gets past him and beat him comfortable. Then she goes out after Miss Glenda Miro, who's an absolute star. Went straight past her and then went out after the two front runners. Like, you just got to watch it a couple of times to really believe it happened. You know what I mean?
Is she an easy bitch to train, or have you had a few dramas with her?
I never had too many dramas. When she first started out, she's very erratic. She couldn't work the eight doggers out at an early stage. One time at Wenny, she got an indiscretion because she ran up to the leader that quick and she went past him and half sort of balked and looked. She didn't know what was going on, what the dog was, why he was slowing down so much. It was just her run-home time again caught her by surprise.
Mate, as you said, yeah, you've been in the game for quite a while. You've won a Melbourne Cup with Andaz Mack a few years back. You were speechless that night. I guess this is another one that ranks up with the Melbourne Cup victory.
Well, they asked last night. I'll put it on the equal. You won't get no better than the Melbourne Cup, don't get me wrong, but that's our home ground, Melbourne Cup, the Golden Easter Egg. It's equal to any race. Don't worry about that. But I had all my immediate family there last night. Both my young daughters, my little daughter, Rose, she's 8 year old. She's never not in the kennels. And I had my middle daughter, April, she basically runs my kennel. She's a foreman. She was there, cool as a cucumber. She said, I knew this was going to happen. And my wife was there, Rochelle, and my oldest daughter, Summer. They were just gobsmacked, you know what I mean? I had everyone around me, Milo, my mate, the handler, and another mate who caught, and Daniel Flanagan, who helps me out. It was just a real gobsmacker, it was, tell the truth.
Mate, coming into the series, yeah, got to get through the heat, the semi, and then the final. What sort of realistic chance did you give her, or did you just really throw her in and just see how it goes?
Well, one stage there, we're looking at, we might miss the Easter egg and step her up in distance, see if she could run the longer distance, because I'll give her a fair campaign over the 600 since she was outstanding. So we only had another 100 metres to go, but I just thought at the time, it's only on once a year. She's going to have to race for luck. There'll be plenty of dogs in front of her, but if she could get a bit of luck, obviously she's got that huge run-home time now. In the heat of the Easter egg, she probably would have won that instead of running second, but she went for the run from last and run up the bum of Goodard Zarada, and that sort of stopped the momentum. And then the time she got going, it was a touch late. She rattled over and run second. And then she got a bit of daylight last week and held it over the top of him, and very similar last night, like 10 off and with 200 metres to go on an Easter egg, running fifth. You'd probably end up running fifth any normal given day. But she had that desire, that real run home time to want to win and run past them. So outstanding, I was.
And as someone said last night, it's also a case, yeah, you need luck in big races, but you also don't need bad luck. And I guess that's one of the things. If one of those runs had closed down, you probably wouldn't have got home.
Yeah, exactly right. That's one thing with her every time. Whether you're in a two-dog or a four-dog or an eight-dog, she's going to be last, whatever distance, whatever track you had. But if she can just get a sniff, she's only little, but she's very tenacious, and she wants to actually scrape the rail. That's how much of a railer she is. She'll scrape the rail, but when you watch that coming into the home straight, that egg last night, she was going too quick for the ones underneath her. So she had to hook around a couple, which usually if there was a gap, she'd be going underneath. But, yeah, like I said before, when you break a record after five or six starts, and that dog's record she broke was one of mine, Smart Missile. He went from the Gardens to the Speed Star in Melbourne and run 29 dead. I think that was the second quickest run ever at Sandown. So she's in serious company with the time she can run, but we've just got to put up with the bad box manners. It's not as if she's a bad beginner. She lacks that genuine pace, and she knows how to not get hit in the head now, which is good.
Mate, well, as I said, appreciate you coming on the show this morning. Congratulations from last night from all of us here. And, yeah, best of luck for the future with her and the rest of the team.
Thanks very much for having us. All the best to you.
Jason McKay joining us there, and just touching on Black Opium, who was the second favourite for the egg last night. Mick, we ended up running last. Did it cop some interference?
Did indeed, yeah. That the infamous run to the first turn did sort a few of them out. Didn't have much luck at all, the Victorian. And, yeah, we'll certainly live for another day. We all know, yeah, the Melbourne Cup runner-up, Australian Cup runner-up, plenty of ability she's got. So I don't think it'll be too long before she'll be bouncing back in big features again. But as we said, you know, luck in big races quite often determines where you do finish.
Well, the big surprise of the night, the shock of the night, was Tornado Tears finishing last in the Association Cup. Tornado Tears was sent out, the $1.90 favourite, now drifted significantly because I think they were betting as short as 140. Got out to 190. Mick, let's take in the replay of last night's New South Wales GBOTA Association Cup final.
Racing, Tornado Tears, second last to go, beginning brilliantly. Veloce Nero, she assumed control by two. Book of Luck working to second. Tornado Tears, he's in trouble and is last on settling down. Veloce Nero, led by 2.5, Book of Luck. Then Dinah Chancer, followed up by Little Digger. Further back in the run, Blue Moon Rising. They're followed by Cairns End, Tornado Tears, Poco Dorado going by him. Midway down the back, Veloce Nero by two. Dinah Chancer going out after her. Two away to Little Digger, followed by Blue Moon Rising. They'll followed by Cairns End. There's no Batman. They swing. Veloce Nero, she's still in front. Little Digger tries hard. Veloce Nero gripped on and won the Association Cup. Beat Little Digger, Dinah Chancer. Blue Moon Rising, Cairns End. They'll followed in by further back Poco Dorado and Tornado Tears near the tail with Book of Luck. And they've run 41.90 in the Association Cup.
Now, what a difference 7 days can make. Mick, Tornado Tears won that race a week ago by nearly 8 lengths and defeating Veloce Nero, and has run Stone Motherless last. He just didn't look like the same dog last night.
Totally didn't stretch out at all. Yeah, okay, he was slow out, did get a check straight away, but unfortunately, just one of those things. As it didn't stretch out, there was talk all week about whether the pad was okay, and it was actually revealed in the stewards' report, and Rob Britton did confirm after the race that he did have an abrasion of that near side hind pad. Unfortunately, one of those things that does happen in racing, and we certainly didn't see the best of Tornado Tears last night. Compare that, you know, it was 10, 12, 15 lengths slower than what he ran just 7 days earlier, where he ignited the crowd, unfortunately. But on the other side of the coin, yeah, fantastic for Veloce Nero's connections. Of that Fernando Bale, Chica d'Estacada, little bit litter, there's obviously Poco Dorado twice, and Blue Moon Rising, who had all won group races, and Veloce Nero hadn't. Well, that changed last night. Veloce Nero got her group race, and it happened to be a group one in the Association Cup.
And in the Magic Maiden final last night, Mick, a great win for Kerry Dryden with Timeless Moment getting the cash from Box 7.
Absolutely. And again, yeah, the Veloce Nero, that Chica de Estacada bloodline. This litter is out of Barcia Bale, and there were six out of that Barcia Bale Chica de Estacada litter in the final of the Magic Maiden, and they finished 1, 2, 3, 4. John and Minnie Finn trained five of the six, and Kerry Drynan trains the other one, and Kerry's was